everyone. Welcome to the Slice of Healthcare podcast. I'm your co-host, Jared Taylor.
And Lily Yari here. Thank you for joining us today. It's my honor to introduce a co-founder that I used to work for, Abhinav Shashank. Thank you so much for joining us, Abhinav. He is the CEO and co-founder of Innovacer.
Thanks, Layla. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, wonderful to have you here. Well, let's jump in. You've obviously grown such an incredible company. You came from India. You started this company with two of your co-founders, and it's been an incredible immigrant story and journey to startup success. Can you jump into that for us? And you've also started a company that is now doing over $200 million in ARR, which is absolutely incredible.
Firstly, thanks so much for the kind words, Layla. I think our story is a little bit unique to a certain extent, not like most healthcare startups in the US, I would say. When we started, three of us as co-founders, Sandeep, Kanav, and myself, we were all three of us were 23, 24 years old when we started, right? And I think the core thesis of the business was that we wanted to build a data platform. The intent was that a lot of data is going to move towards the cloud, and all of the systems that sort of exist today were fairly broken. So you had something which was doing ETL frameworks, you had something that was doing warehousing, you had a visualization layer. And so I think the intent for us was that how do you really build an integrated enterprise intelligence stack take that to sort of market. And when we started, we had we started in Delhi, in India, selling to US customers. Our first set of customers were universities, because they were doing a lot of data backed research, and we have researchers from Harvard, MIT, Stanford, 65 of the top 100 research institutions using the platform within the first year of when we sort of launched it. But unfortunately, I think universities did not have a lot of enterprise budget for data warehousing and data technology in general. So we figured out that I think as much as the use case was great for the technology, it didn't seem like we could build a very, very large business doing that. I think as the initial intent was, we really started going out to larger companies. We went to companies Disney, Wolters Kluwer's, NASA, a lot of them became customers for us. And within the first 2-3 years of starting up, we were suddenly doing $5 million of ARR, right? And this is super fun, right? You have to understand, we're 26, 27 years old, $5 million really goes a long way in India, right?
Definitely.
So we partied a ton at that point for sure, right?
Hopefully the party continued. But I remember that Innovacer was actually not targeting healthcare in the very beginning, but then figured out how to pivot and go into healthcare and really find a good use case, especially with value-based care coming around the corner.
Right. And so one of our customers was this institution called Mercy Accountable Care Organization. This was in Des Moines, Iowa, right? And we were engineers, basically. I think they said that we have to integrate a lot of the claims and clinical and all of those data sets together and really bring that onto a common platform. And as engineers, we sort of thought, how hard can that be? You have to basically get 5 databases integrated, and that doesn't seem very hard. And we started doing that, I realized that, oh my God, this is really, really hard, right? Because ontologies were different, everyone had basically stored data in a very different sort of way.
And there was a data quality issue, right?
Yeah.
I remember, because when I did sales for you guys, the one thing that I would talk about was, if they had a data quality issue, they should use Innovacer, and that always immediately stuck.
Right.
And that's one of the huge value adds.
Right. And so, like, I think, like, and so healthcare was one of the things that we were doing at that point. And as we, like, I think, like, realized that, like, the size of the problem was so large and, like, the complexity of the problem was so hard, we figured that we can't do this, like, in 20% of our time, right? Like, because, like, if you're doing, like, Disney, Walt Disney World, so you're doing basically, like, so many different things. And you can't really go focus on one particular industry and solve that problem very, very well. So very counter to like what most companies would do, we actually shut down like all of our other business. So it took us 24 months to basically go from like 0 to $5 million of ARR, and it took us the next 24 hours to go from like 5 to 0 again. Right? Like
Right.
so we shut down like all of our other business. We decided that we are going to go focus on healthcare because one, the problem statement is incredibly large, and I don't think there has been like a real great tech company that has been built in the last 20 years in healthcare per se. So if you could build like I think a cloud native intelligence and like data business like in healthcare, it could be like a very, very large business over a period of time. So I think that was the intent. We shut everything sort of like down. And like 2016 is basically where we shut it down. Like there was the advent of value-based care. Like everyone was starting to look at how to look at like the patient information much more proactively. How do you sort of really think about caring for the patient in ways that were different than before, where like everything was about volumes, and here we are talking about like quality of care. We are talking about proactive care and all of those sort of like things. So that I think like fundamentally needed new technology stack, and we figured that if we were able to be, I think, like persistent with it and really build enough technology around it, we could sort of like I think be leaders in that space. So that's I think like where the business pivoted, like end of 2016, like and like in 7 years, like we closed I think like last year closer to $150 million like of ARR, like and hopefully I think like hitting like 200 million or so basically this year.
That's amazing.
And like it's probably one of the fastest growing vertical software companies like ever, right? Like
Which is
and
incredible. Like, can we jump into the tech stack? Can you just speak a bit about the high level aspects and features? I know when I was there, it was in data, in graph, in care, and now you've also been focusing a lot on AI. So it would be great to touch a bit on that as well.
So I think our core thesis, like always, was that you have to bring all of the data together. You have to create a 360-degree view of the patient, right? Like today, because healthcare payments were based on transactions, right? Like you go to a doctor and you get paid for that the doctor gets paid for that transaction. So every technology was built for recording the transaction of care, but not really like creating a 360-degree view of who the person is, right? Like the center of the story was the episode of care and not the person on which care was sort of really being delivered. Now, you build very different technologies if like the center of the story is basically the transaction versus like the person. So for us, I think like we've always felt that longitudinal care and like I think long-term care delivery would need like I think like a different approach to technology. So firstly, it will have to bring data from a lot of variety of sources. It will need claims information, it would need clinical information, it would need your lab information sets, it would need a lot of data from so many different places to really create like who you are like as a person. Once I think in the care delivery system, like you have that 360-degree view of the patient created, now you can run so many different kind of analytics, right? Like are you at high risk of diabetes? Are you like using like the ED a lot? So cost, quality, utilization metrics around you, like disease progression areas around you. So that's basically the analytics layer that we sort of like built out. Then on top of it, we basically figured out that there is so much that we sort of like now have to offer. How would it like I think like go if we started building software applications on top of it, right? Like so how do we get it like back into the workflow? So the first product that we built was in care, which was based on this data. We will prioritize who are the highest risk patients and put that into like a task list of a care manager so that like they don't have to like go and search like 5,000 patients and figure out like who they want to reach out to. All of the analytical rigor and everything is basically done, and like what are the tasks that we need to complete is already there. And that was like the care management product, which was called InCare, that we built out. We then built out, we wanted to do the similar thing with doctors, right? Like when you go to a doctor today, like it starts with, hey, hi, what's your name? And like, and can you like fill up this like piece of paper and like write like all of your history, right? Like, but I've gone to you like 5 times, like you should already know, right? Like
That's
and
right.
so like I think so we basically I think like created this same like point of care assistant tool called InNote for doctors that gives you like the 360 degree view of the patient. It also runs like analytics. It understands that, hey, like this patient's weight has increased consistently over a period of time, and maybe like they are at a high risk of like heart failure or like a high risk of diabetes. So you might want to check, right? Now the interaction is so much more different. Like you go to a doctor, they basically open up and note. There is like all kind of insights around the patient that they can really look at. And so that was, I think, like the second piece of technology that we sort of like built out. And then like engaging with members, creating like InConnect was basically like the next technology, which was like very focused on engaging, automatically engaging patients and things of that nature. And so on and so forth. And then we acquired like, I think like, a marketing automation business. We've basically built out a contact center product. We've also basically like realized that with generative AI, you could do so much more. Like you can increase the productivity of doctors so much more by putting generative AI into their workflows for the nurses so much more. So we've launched a suite of like generative AI products at this point. So the core thesis for us is that the platform is going to keep expanding, but the core thesis at all points is going to be that we are going to proactively take care of the patient, right? Like, so it's like a technology for care delivery and transformation of care delivery towards a more proactive sort of like way, but and in the process, reducing like I think provider burden, administrative burden, like and all of those sort of like things as well. But at the heart of it is like how do we like better take care of patients more proactively?
And in the meantime, are helping ACOs and health systems achieve shared savings as well.
Yeah. And like I think like the government has had like a big role to play in this, right? Like that if the payment model did not move towards value-based care, I think like whatever we had built like wouldn't be like applicable, right? Like because if you keep getting paid for the transaction of care and don't get paid for keeping you healthy, right? Like then like whatever you build is useless, right? Like you move the cheese a little bit, right? Like
Right.
and see basically like how things move. And so the government's push towards value and like how do you really get paid if you're keeping the person healthy rather than just treating them when they're sick is been like a big movement to a certain extent. And I think like our job at this point is to provide like I think the enabling technology that makes that happen, right?
Right.
Like
And
so
so it sounds like the company is focused a lot right now on AI. Is that fair to say?
yeah, like all of us, right?
Is that the most exciting thing that you're working on? And do you have some things to share that are going to be coming down the line in a year or two?
Yeah, I think we are so excited about AI right now. Like, I can't tell you. Like, I think, like, I've started writing code back again. Like, so it's like
Oh.
so much fun, right? Like,
That's amazing.
so I think like, from our standpoint, we think, like what OpenAI and others have done, like is like I think like fantastic. Right, like it's like an application of a research paper that Google did like really long time back, but I think the way they have implemented it is just like incredible. So I think it opens up so much opportunity, like for everyone, like for every industry, and I think like so much for healthcare because we spend around $4 trillion like in healthcare today, right? Like according to all counts, around $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion of that is like waste, right? Like it's administrative waste. And if you go to like any doctor today, almost everyone is going to talk about like that I'm burnt out, right? And the reason for that burnout is not necessarily that they are tired of taking care of patients. That's the part that they enjoy, right? But they're basically all tired about now I can't even talk to the patient with a straight face. I always have to be typing, and even when I go back home, I'm just compiling notes. It seems like people have become more typewriter.
It doesn't sound modern. It doesn't sound modern for sure.
And I think that is causing a lot of stress across the board, for caregivers. And so I think our general view is that with generative AI coming into play, I think a lot of these things really get solved. So our first product on that was a Alexa type product where you put it between the patient and the doctor, and it records I think the transaction conversation end to end. It creates it into a clinical note, a complete clinical note that the doctor can then basically review and see if they it missed anything, and then click a button and it gets auto documented into the EHR. This basically was probably 10 minutes of their time in a 20-minute conversation with the patient, right? So you freed up so much time for the doctor, suddenly.
Right, it makes
We're
a
then
big
adding
difference for them.
yeah, and then we are adding capabilities around we're doing a lot of learning models so that it could do differential diagnosis as well, right? So based on the conversation, provide some assistant that this is a probable diagnosis, and the doctor can choose to basically use it or leave it, but these are probable diagnosis. We're then basically going to add coding capabilities, prior auth capabilities, and a lot of things that are administrative burden for the doctors today. So at the end of the day, I think our goal with generative AI is to just make doctors so much more happier, doing what they basically like to do, and not have to basically really I think be doing a lot of the administrative work that they're sort of doing.
Right.
So I think a lot of that basically comes into the realm of possibility with generative AI. And so we're very, very excited about it for sure.
That's incredible work, and I know the physicians will be so grateful for that. You mentioned that there really hasn't been a good company that's been building this kind of tech stack for 20 years, but I know you have some thoughts on Epic, and I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on Epic as a company and how they built their products and really distributed them out into the healthcare industry.
So I think as a company, we have a ton of respect for Epic generally. I think that's a very counter view to most of the industry, but I think we generally have I think a lot of respect for how Epic was sort of built over I think 40 years period. I think I think it's a culture that basically really cares for the patient, cares for their customers and things of that nature. And they've stood I think the test of time, right? So many of the companies that basically got started in the last decade or so, right? There was all of this buzz around digital health and this will change and that will change. And it just felt like everyone was operating very in a mercenary way, right? That I want to basically get this quick exit and make my money and all of those things. But I don't think companies are built like that. Or at least the companies that stand the test of time basically are not really built like that. And we've never felt like that with Epic, right? They've just been there, and things will come and go, and they're basically I think there. And so we have a lot of I think learning that we've taken for our culture in that way that we are here. We are very purposeful. We want to do this because it's a meaningful mission. We don't yes, I think making money and is sort of important because no money, no mission.
Right.
But
And
I
what's
think that is
interesting,
like a
and what's interesting about
Yeah,
Epic
go
is
ahead.
that they refuse to go public, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think
Yeah.
that you would take that approach as well with Innovaccer or?
No, I think like we are going to go public at some point, given that we've basically raised like venture capital and things of that nature. But like we're going to go public. But I think like the thing that differentiates us, like if you look at our cap table, like a lot of our investors are very, very long-term thinkers. Like so, we have sovereign wealth funds, we have like institutions, we have like pension funds as our investors, and a lot of those people are like really here to invest for decades and not for years. Right, like so I think like a lot of our cap table is built in a way that we can be like a long-term business where people are just invested because they really like the mission. Right, like so we've been very thoughtful about our cap table generally, like and hopefully like in a few months we'll sort of like announce something which will make you feel like I think that there is like more of that happening,
Oh,
right?
how
Like
exciting. Great. We're kind of
we
getting a
feel
little bit of a sneak preview. Yeah. And I mean, just for the listeners, you are a Series E company, right? Which is quite
we are a
far down the
Series E
line.
company. Our last round was at a 3.2, 3.3 billion, and like we've raised like around 400 million to date.
That's incredible. Let's talk about a little bit about your personal founder story. The highs and the lows. Like, what can you sort of highlight on that for us? We'd love to hear about it.
So I think like personally for me, like I come from India. Like I think like I grew up like in a family of like civil servants in general. Like we never had like I think like too much money. It was not to say like we were poor, like but like I think like it was like we were like the middle class of India, right? Like and so money was not really like a big motivator for anyone in the family, right? Like it was more towards what can you do and like how can you basically create I think like more value for others, and that was sort of like I think like the driving force. And so when it, and I went to like I think like IIT after that, like it was an up to the right moment. And when I graduated out of IIT, I got a job where like I think like it paid really well, worked there for a couple of
And
years.
those who don't know, IIT is like the MIT of India, basically.
It's like India's best engineering school for sure. Like and so like I think like what we did, like I think after that, like I worked there for 3 years. It was like an incredible experience, and then we decided that why don't we just try it like for ourselves? And the three of us, like I think like got together. We started off the business, and like it was like a it was not easy, I would say, but it was so much fun, right? Like I think we enjoyed like every moment of it. Like I think I came to the US like for the first time. Like we had obviously no money back then, so but I would have like a friend who was doing a PhD in like every city. Like so I would just go like sleep in their dorm rooms and like whatever. Like it was a
That's
lot of fun.
great.
Like we partied a ton. Like it was like we had nothing to sort of like worry about, because like when you're 24 there is very little to sort of lose, right? So we built out like I think the company like in a very frugal way initially, like and then I think like as we've scaled up, it like it became a unicorn like within like I think like 6 7 years. So it was all up to the right. And so for me, I like till 2022, I had never seen a down cycle in my life. It was just like this strange things that you like you've spent like 34 years of your life and you've never seen sort of like seen a down cycle in your life. And so when I think like the interest rates got like higher and all of those things happened, there was like a little bit of a correction in the market, right? Like and like most companies, like I think like we had like I think like a little bit of that pressure, and so we had to go through like a layoff in general as well. And I think that hit me like really, really hard. Like this was the first time in my life I was really feeling like down, and I didn't know how to handle it, frankly. Like just because this was. Like if everything has been up to the right, you don't even know like how to handle failure, right? And so like I went into like a very deep clinical depression like at that moment, and for the next 8 months or so, like I was like, I think, like in a very deep, like depressive sort of like mode. 4 months of which I actually took a sabbatical of work,
Wow, yeah.
right? Like, and so like it helped me heal like quite a bit. Like I went back to India. I also spent time with like friends and things of that nature. But it was just very. Like, it was great perspective for me, right? Like, and firstly, I think like it was just great that like I think we had investors who were like, go do whatever you have to sort of like do and
They
don't
were
worry about
supportive.
this, right? Like, and like I was very lucky that I have co-founders and like exec teams that just ran the business
Right.
end to end, and like I didn't have to worry about that. And so for that period, like it was just very hard, but it was so helpful for me to realize what priorities in life should look like, and like why family should basically really come first. And and when you're running in this race, right, like at a lot of times you sort of like lose context of what's truly important, and your family is sort of really important, your friends are very important, because like work comes and goes. These are things that stand with you like forever, right? Like so I think like it also changed a little bit of my perspective towards what a great company should be, right? Like, and yes, like I think like work is important, and we have to like I think like play to win, but what's also important is to find like your right mix and balance around it as well. So we've basically started focusing a lot more like organizationally around some of those things as well. I don't think like just for like I think like anyone who's basically like dealt with or dealing with like I think depression, like it can happen to anyone and it has nothing to do with the situation, right? Like it's all like I think like just take care of yourself in like I think like more meaningful ways that you are today, because it's all of things in life are very, very long term. Like nothing's going to end tomorrow. Like
Right.
and you if you have to basically do anything with like a long term intent, you need to find basically that time and space for yourself like first, and then like I think like take care of everything else.
So it sounds like your personal experience kind of impacted the culture of the company in a positive way. Can you say
Yeah, I hope so.
that? I mean, like as a leader.
But yeah, no, definitely. I think like we are putting a lot more focus on culture. Like we are putting a lot more focus on trust, and like how do you build a great company for the next like decade and 2 decades, and not for the next like quarter and year per se. Like all of the investors we are basically talking to, like are only people with that sort of like mind frame. We're not here to basically make a quick flip. We're here to create like a meaningful business that hopefully like outlives us. And like to do that, you just need to build foundations. And if it takes time, it takes time. Like, but we'll just do it well.
And I know you have some thoughts also, just to shift a little bit on kind of your own personal philosophies on something called purposeful capitalism. We'd love to talk a little bit about that. What do you mean when you say that you sort of endorse this kind of belief? We'd love to hear more around that.
Yeah, so I think I spoke about a little about like the 2021 period, right? Where like I think like everything digital health was like. So what happens when like there is excess, right? Like and like I think 2021 was a little bit of a year of excess, right? Like there was money was free, like in some way. Then I think like capitalism and market forces fail to work a little bit, right? Like the way capitalism is basically built out is that it's a force multiplier, right? Like, and it could multiply like an evil force, and it could multiply like a purposeful force, right? Like, and our general belief is that we are going to be like force of good, like and force of purpose, right? Like, and we will believe in the missions that we like. I think like carry forward, and like I think give it our best, and if the forces of capitalism then sort of like work, then like I think like it will force multiply itself, and like I think like become something big. I see like I think I generally try to mentor like a little bit of like I think early stage founders and things of that nature. People get too stuck up on
oh, like I want to do this because I want to make money. Like, and yes, like I think like you will make money as a byproduct. Like, and but if you don't really know like what your mission is, like what your core values are, like as a business, it will never. Like, I think at least we don't basically believe in that kind of capitalism, right? Like, chasing money as an outcome, like I feel like becomes very counterintuitive to what we are sort of like trying to do. So if you have a purpose, like I think money will follow, like is our general sort of like theme, and which is what we sort of like broadly mean by purposeful capitalism.
Yeah, and your company is definitely a testament to that in terms of what you've built for the healthcare industry and preventative care. So, congrats on that.
Oh, thank you.
I've been just actually really enjoying hearing you two go back and forth. So I've been more quiet than I usually am on these, but it's kind of I get like a live seat to kind of it's you know Layla worked for you in the early days, so it's really cool to kind of hear the rapport back and forth too. I have questions around you've accomplished so much, so congratulations on the growth and helping patients and everything that you've built. What advice you can like let's talk about someone that was in your shoes years ago, right? The next phase of entrepreneurs that are trying to innovate in healthcare. What advice would you give them? What advice would you give to your younger self as well?
I think like one of the things that we just say is like I think like be patient, right? Like it's not a very easy industry to really build a business in. Like I think like if you're going to build a tech business for healthcare, it's going to be hard like initially. Like it's not like like Google and like Facebook and all of those things that we sort of really like, I think love and like there is like this hockey stick like rocket type of thing like that happens like day one. Like healthcare is like a lot more about compounding, right? Like you can build very very large business and UnitedHealthcare and Optum are sort of like I think like Kaiser and a lot of these businesses that are very large today, like have been built over a period of time. If you are patient and if you are there for the long term, you can build a great business. But if you're just wanting like to for this to be like a get rich quick scheme, like that's not going to happen in healthcare.
So I have a question around this in terms of investing in healthcare companies. Like, how do investors need to rethink healthcare technology investments? What is your take on that?
Sure. Again, the same thing. Like I think like it's a little bit of a longer term play. Like a lot of like I think like software investors want like I think like these 7 year horizons or 8 year horizons in which they want an exit. I think it's very hard in healthcare. Like if you really want like I think like a good business to be built in healthcare, it's probably going to take you like I think like a decade plus to get built. So I think like when you think about like your horizon of investing, like you have to basically give it like a little longer. It could basically be like I think like much larger in the longer term, but you will have to basically give it that time. So if you're like an investor looking to invest in healthcare, don't like start applying horizontal software principles into like a healthcare technology business. They just don't work. And we've tried them. We went from like I think like 12 salespeople to 40 salespeople thinking like okay like Snowflake is doing the same, so maybe we should do the same. It just doesn't work, right? Like so it's just a very different business if you're going to do like I think like anything in healthcare, it has to basically like work. It has to like prove customer outcomes. You will have to give it that time, and then customers are going to like refer you to the next customer, and that is how growth happens in healthcare technology. So it's just like a very different way of approaching business. And like I think a lot of like horizontal software business like investors that invest in healthcare companies start to apply like their horizontal principles into healthcare, which in most cases like I think like is a recipe for disaster.
So slow and steady wins the race in some
Definitely in
cases.
healthcare.
Some of the best companies have waited, like you said, post like a decade to go public. So, or in Epic's instance, not go public at all.
Well, how
So
do we get
yeah.
the vast majority of investors to adopt that mindset though? Like, because you're one of the best in the business, and you're laying that framework out, And I know you have some really great investors that you've worked with over the years. Is it something that the really great investors will continue to adopt that framework and understand that's how it works in healthcare? And then, you know, there's so many investors, but there's such a small subset of the ones that maybe get it or are willing to play the long game. I guess you can't change their mind, right? They're gonna think what they want to think. But like, what advice would you have to some of the other investors out there that can adopt a similar mindset to the ones that you already have?
Yeah, I think like we've been very lucky to have like incredible investors. I think like our Series A investor was like Westbridge, which was like, I think, and they have been incredible. Like, I think like anytime like we sort of like really talk to them, they are never talking about like going public or like anything of that nature. All the conversation has always been about like, how can we build this for the next decade or two decades and things of that nature. And like, we can like hold forever per se. But I think like there is a little bit of this challenge that most investors have like a fund life, and which is basically a 10-year fund life. So I think like they struggle with that, and I don't even know like how for a broader set of investors you can really solve this. But anyone who is wanting to invest in healthcare, like just be very cautious that like if you invest with like businesses in healthcare technology and then are looking for an exit like within a five-year period, you will either, like, it is just going to be very hard to get a great exit, like in a 5-year sort of like horizon. Like you will either cut the company short, which could have basically been a great company, or you would basically, I think, like push yourself and burn all of the money and like really not get anywhere. So I think it's just like, I think like a caveat to like, I think a lot of people wanting to invest in healthcare just because $4 trillion are really being spent here, that it's healthcare is not a get rich quick scheme. Like it is like a place where you can create like, I think, enduring difference over a large period of time. And hopefully in the process, like, I think like make a lot of money as a side effect as well. But it's not a get rich quick scheme industry for sure.
And do you invest yourself in other healthcare companies?
I do invest in technology. Like, I think like in healthcare, I feel like, I think there is a lot of like conflict of interest, and we try to sort of like stay away from that. But I do invest in like technology businesses quite a bit. Like, I have a fund called 0-1 Ventures, which is to, I think, like early stage businesses that I run, like, I think, like, with my ex-VP of product, and my wife, basically, like, I think,
is that focused on healthcare, or is it not outside of healthcare, like, as well? Or
it's broadly technology. We would do, like, I think, like an occasional like healthcare deal, like clearing conflict, but like, I think it's mostly like non-healthcare but technology.
I'm asking because if anybody's listening to this episode and they may want to approach you personally for an investment, they may be curious what it is that you look for, and what your thesis is and all of that.
I think like my general thesis is like that the founder should be having fun. And they should be really enjoying, like, I think, what they're doing. I think, like, founder problem fit is such an important thing for me. Like, I think, like, if you don't enjoy the journey, like, it's just hard to build a great company. So I think, like, I generally look for people, like, who are really passionate about, like, I think, that problem and can do that for the next decade without having to be like, I'm tired of this. No, like, I think, like we're not tired. Like, I just feel like every day I wake up, like, I'm like, holy shit, like, we can also do this and that. Like, and it's just, like, so much fun, right? Like, and if you can't have fun, like, building your business, then, like, why are you even doing it, right? Like, so I think, like, right, that is the biggest thing that we sort of, like, look for generally.
Amazing. And I agree with you. And it sounds like you may have to take some breaks in between, but yeah, come back recharged and get back at it again.
Yeah. So take the breaks basically on your own, or else basically life figures out a way to basically get you to take a break.
Make you take a break.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I guess we always like to ask, like, what's next? Like, what's next for Innovacer? What's next for you? What is the future look like?
Again, I think like we've basically started talking a lot about, I think, internally about like joy. Generally, like I think, like as a business, like we should be able to create, like I think, joy and happiness for our customers. We should basically be happy doing it, like ourselves, and like I think, like do it over a sustained period of time. Like we're not in a hurry to do anything. We're obviously very, very excited about like what we are doing in AI. Like and over the next, like I think, like year or so, you're going to see, like I think, like 5-10 products that we sort of like launch using, like I think, like artificial intelligence. So we're very excited about that in the short term, but I think in the long term enduring framework, our general thing is build a company where people are happy, and therefore as a result, like customers are happy.
It's always about the customer, keeping your focus on the customer, keeping your focus on the patient, and that should derive a successful company. Amazing. All right. Well, Abhinav, it was such a pleasure having you on here, such an honor. And again, I'm so grateful for the time that I spent working at Innovacer. It was a huge milestone in my career and an incredible experience. So really happy to get a chance to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having us here. And like, you're a rock star as always. Like,
thank you. That's very kind.
Thank you so much for,
Amazing.
Awesome. Thanks so much.